Good morning. This is Pastor John. It is the 6th of April, 2012. Good Friday, they call it. I'm reading my community newspaper, and it's not a very good Friday. Because the newspapers are filled with headlines about the killings of young black men. Just to give you an example, here's one. Shot dead by police like a hunter's prey. Kendry McDade's killing awakes deep fury in the African-American community. From the bottom line, byline of Betty Pleasant. And there's another story that I was reading. And this one is keeping young black men safe in an age of Kendry and Trayvon. And let me say this, because you guys know how I am about black males, and I've always been that way. As a matter of fact, I was having a conversation with young Morio today, and he thinks that I'm harder on females than I am on males, and I was telling him that, well, basically, people from both species can be treacherous, but that women, when they are treacherous against men, knows just how to make that man crumble, and vice versa. If some men are weakened by the behavior of women, to wit, I'm not that. You know, Mario was pointing out to me that when it comes to women, that I'm very standoffish. I am, because I don't allow anyone's emotion to get the best of them, to get the best of me. But I was reading these articles by a black woman and a black man, and I came together with the recognition that there is something drastically wrong in this country when you have so many. Man, look, just let me share with you. The Pasadena, California incident, which some of you may be reading about all around the country. Man, listen. An illegal alien. Listen to this. An illegal alien. A dude that was shipped back to Mexico somewhere years ago and snuck right back across the border to come back. Calls the police and says that two black men, each of them have guns, took my backpack and my laptop while I was standing here on a street corner. And the police gets in a black and white unit, comes out. The two black boys begin to run, quite naturally. That's what a lot of black boys do. They run because obviously something was stated when they first met up with the illegal Hispanic guy or the Latina. And I'm not against Latinas. You know I'm not. I'm not against anybody. Boys will be boys. And I don't have difficulty with them having words with each other. And I know that sometimes these words can lead to shootings and killings and mayhem and everything else. But when law enforcement officers, and I've got to say this, and for those of you that are, you know, I have a couple of law enforcement officers in my local congregation, and I plan to on Sunday when I meet with them, I am seriously going to ask them some serious questions. And if these questions come to the point where our relationship is shattered, splintered, and broke the hell up, then let it be done. I think that the problem with the popo, if you will, with the police, and this is speaking as a Christian man, as a pastor, as a dude that loved dudes. I mean, man, it's hard for a black man to make it these days. It's real hard. I can give you some live stories about how difficult it is for a young black man to survive in Los Angeles today if he doesn't have some help, get a little help from his friends. The police have a problem If they're rolling, and listen, let me paint the scenario for you. I got to do it. As a Christian, I have to do it in my head. As a man that loves God, every human being that's born on this planet is of God. If we are in Western civilization, and if we come up here, though the atheist and the agnostic and the other people try to get us to turn away from the idea that God has spawned anything on this planet but a bunch of filthy human beings that do filthy things. I know humans can be very filthy, and there I was having that discussion with Mario this morning. I know that humans can be very filthy in their enactments towards each other. I am aware of that. Unfortunately, when I have a discussion with the young man stops at one point and doesn't take it beyond that, and that makes the conversation frivolous to me, because I need somebody to think through this, and I want you people to think through this with me. The police in this country need to do this. First of all, number one, realize that, I think I need to give a background scripture here as I do this, because you know what everybody's talking about? Well, Pastor John, you need to give us scripture, and so that we can, you know, we can understand where you're coming from here. Yeah, okay. If I go to Romans chapter 13, and we got to read it right, because when you go to Romans chapter 13 and you begin to read this, it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, this does not mean whenever a policeman comes up to me and says anything to me and tells me to do anything that I'm supposed to do it, because God did not give no human police that authority to do that to another human. The police, like myself, are all a creation of God. I believe that what we've done, now check it out. Dean Gocher talks about this wonderfully. I believe that once we misplace the authority figure in our lives, and let's keep it in mind. That if the police, I'm talking about these people that you give the nice shiny badge to, the stick, the gun, the mace, the bullets, the shotguns, the fancy radios, the computers, the toys that make men, little boys, want to be that. I understand that one of the police officers that shot the young man in Kendry McDade, he was a sharpshooter when in the army. I think when he was in Iraq, he was a sharpshooter, meaning that this guy knew how to kill somebody instantly. Now, you got these guys coming out of the military, getting shiny badges, sticks, and they're giving them a legal authority to kill the citizens in our own country. If you people don't know what negation is, that is population negation. Let's negate the population by putting sharpshooters in police cars, shiny badges. They score high on the tests because they can kill the citizenry. I'm going to tell you, that's a damn shame. Excuse my French. Now, number one, Kendry was running. I don't know why he was running, but as most of the article says, when I was a young black boy growing up in this country, my parents taught me, my grandparents taught me, whenever you see the police, even if you didn't do anything wrong, never run. I'm going to have that conversation with the two cops in my home fellowship. And I'm going to ask them, what would you think if you saw me and I started running? Are you going to put guilt there? You know, it may be something called survival. I want to tell you, sometimes I have conversations with young Mario that stays with me. And Mario fears the young men in his own community. Man, can you imagine that? A young man walking down the street in broad daylight, fearing another young man his age or younger, that young man, because he is black, would just want to kill him. To see his warm blood gushing out of his body and his lungs filling up with blood and him dying with his eyes staring wide open, laying on a city sidewalk. I don't even want to comprehend seeing that scene. I don't want to be called because, see, my address is on his license. And they're going to find out what telephone number is at that address and call that telephone number. And I'm going to be the one called there to identify the body. I don't want to see that. That is disturbing to me. I don't even want to think about a law enforcement officer in any way killing Mario or killing any young black man that's running. If he runs, get in your squad car and try to catch him. Kendry didn't point a gun at them. They didn't even find a gun on the child. Why in God's name would a sworn law... Listen to Pastor John. And listen, those of you that are not black. I'm making this webcast because I got to do it. I got to do it. As I watch my country go down the literal toilet. It is because nobody is saying what needs to be said. There's some mess going on here. You got these people running these police departments. You got to know. The police department have been given headquarters from the top to do this. They have to prove themselves worthy of advancement. Wait a minute. There was a letter that Betty Pleasant received, and I want to turn to it again, and I want to read it to you. Because there was a, where's that thing at? There was a citizen that was speaking harshly about the Pasadena police and the cover-up and all this stuff in the Pasadena shooting. And I'd like to read this. Listen, regarding the Kendry McDade case, let me go back to the first part of this. Okay, Kari Harper is a Beverly Hills attorney who had been the recipient of the vilest kind of hate mail imaginable ever since she began advocating on the behalf of McDade. She has received death threats and been called dirty names. This is one of the many nasty letters that she received, which I happen to have. Somebody named Rob D. sent Harper this email. Now, I want you to listen to the email, and I'm just going to blankety blank some of the statements. I think you'll be able to fill it in. And I think that this is some hate mail coming from the higher ups to try to stop people and to frighten them with death threats. And I'm quoting, "Be very careful of the words that you choose regarding the Kendry McDade case. You said in an interview that he was shot for being black at night. Hello, where the F is your head at? Be very careful, B. You're trying to stir something up, and you have absolutely zero substance. It's morons like yourself who are trying to keep racism alive. If you don't want to get shot by the pigs, quit doing criminal activities and running away from authorities." See, in other words, this person in the letter is saying, you must have done something wrong. That's why you was running. See, that that is crazy. Black people have always been taught, when you see the police, go in the opposite direction. That's the way we stay alive. Because many police are gun-happy idiots out there with the authority given by the state. Let me pause right here. I'll finish reading the letter later. I recall while I was driving my daughter to Michigan to go to the University of Michigan, I packed up all of her stuff and put it in a U-Haul truck. I was driving through the state of Iowa, however you say it. I was with one of the deacons in the church. He was younger than myself. I was behind the wheel of the truck. I was going the speed limit. I forget what it was. I think it was 55. I was going 55 on the interstate. I believe it was Interstate 10, to be sure. And as I was going through there, we were coming down grade, and I saw a trooper. It was a black and yellow trooper car, in the middle of the highway, parked in the cluster of the trees. I said to the man with me, I said, look at me, I'm slowing down below the speed limit. And I told him, I said, we're in white world, and we will be pulled over when the trooper sees that there are two black men in a U-Haul truck. Sure enough, soon as I passed him, I looked at him. The trooper looked up to me, turned on the lights immediately, whoop, whoop, turned on the door. I immediately pulled over to the side. I immediately just pulled the truck over, and we started to laugh. We get there. He asked me to get out of the truck, and he puts me in the back of his cruiser, locks me in the back, checks out the other guy's license, and then he gets in the front of the car while I'm in the back. He has my license and also my LAPD ID card, because I gave him that when I gave him the license. I was an LAPD chaplain. And he said, why did you give me this? I says, why do you think I give it to you? Let you know who I am. First thing that he asked me, do I have any contraband? And I said, what is that? I have my daughter's furniture here in this car. Where are you going? It's to Michigan. I'm passing through your state. How long have you been here? What? You were going 75 miles an hour. I didn't say anything. Because I said to myself, is this one of these trigger-happy, dumb, stupid? You know, sometimes police departments hire some of the dumbest people you ever want to meet. And I'm not down on cops. Don't get me wrong. Because the ones that go to my fellowship are very bright, very intelligent, very articulate. One is a UCLA graduate. So I'm not down on the popo. I believe in law and order. But there's something cotton picking wrong when you got some of the stupidest trigger-happy fools with the shiny badge and a gun. Wait a minute. Let me go back to the letter. The person says, black at night, you sick bee. How do you sleep at night, you effing coward? Now, see, these kinds of letters coming to an attorney in Beverly Hills that want to look deeply into the case of a young black boy that was shot down like a dog in the street. I have Broman, my bull terrier. I wouldn't do him like that. I'm making this webcast because we are living in times. If this mess is not solved in this country, this mess is going to explode. And I'm going to tell you, black people in count are in the minority here. We cannot survive an all-out and out racial thing. But there's something wrong with our laws. There's something, I mean, because everybody have cameras now. So now, you know, and that's kind of good because you can't get away with the murder that they used to get away with. And then whenever they see a black man standing up and he's looking angry, well, what's he trying to do? What the hell you think he's trying to do? Trying to survive. Now, another thing that the popo need to learn how to do. All right. When they put them through training. And of course, I'm just a Christian pastor talking. Come on, man, have a Christian pastor come in and talk to these young boys that they've given all these bullets to and this mace to and all that. And I know that there are fools out there. The citizenry is going crazy because everyone has rejected authority. And when you reject authority, the authority of the government, the authority of a parent, the authority of someone that knows, it's like Mario, from time to time, he'll want to banter back and forth to try to get me to bend to his idea of thinking. And I told him, I'm not bending that way. I was speaking to a man yesterday who looked at my wife and went and got him a wife from the same country that my wife came from, only to find out that he ran into a catastrophe. I asked the man how he was doing, and he said, paying alimony. And he told me, he said, I would never, ever marry again. And Mario, not knowing anything about the West, you know, you taking up for him. I says, no. This woman basically was in a nipper hut in a country out in the middle of nowhere with nothing. And is taking after and practically everything from this man. And I know this man. He's not the perfect man in the world, but he didn't do anything to her. There's evil in the land all around us. People living evil, wicked lives. I know that. Sometimes pastors live wicked, evil lives. God forbid. But when you have law enforcement officers, okay, here's my proposal. What they ought to do, because what they've done in the government, they kicked God out of everything. I recall the last graduation at the LAPD Academy that I officiated. Well, I didn't officiate, but I was the chaplain of that. And they asked the chaplain to have something to say. And I prayed for the new recruits that were graduating. And I made this statement. I said, we have on the side of our cars here in this city to protect and to serve. But I said, they have called me up to offer prayer at the end of this graduation. And at that time, Daryl Gates, you can research the name, was the chief of police for the LAPD. Daryl Gates wasn't the coolest chief, but he was a chief. And he didn't stop me. He didn't reprimand me for using these words. I said, these are the guys that are supposed to be protecting and serving us. But what I'm going to do at the end of this graduation, it's asked that we may all bow our heads and pray that God will protect them from the evil that they are holding back. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was years ago. I can't say that now for the PD, because the PD has changed its face and appearance. The PD is not a mixture of white and black and Hispanic and Asian police. No, the PDs are primarily Latina. Now, when you have a Latina PD in the city working here, and I'm telling you, they speak bilingual, two languages. It's like every time I'm looking up, I see Latina officers. I see fewer and fewer black officers. Because you don't have a lot of black officers on the force. And of course, the white officers are working in the white neighborhoods. But they have a lot of them working in the black neighborhoods and the Latina neighborhoods where the gangs are in the inner cities. And of course, they have a completely different disposition of the citizenry in which they're working. And of course, when they run into gang members and the gang members are fighting back, well, they're trigger happy. Well, all of them are gang members. No, you need to bring the chaplains back into the PD. And I don't care what color they are, but they ought to be believers. And sit down and say, you are going into the street to work with the citizens of this city. All of them are not like you. They don't eat the food you eat. They don't think like you. They don't talk like you. They don't speak, in some cases, two or three languages like you. They're Korean. They're Buddhist. They're Islamic, they're Christian, they're non-Christian, they're atheist, they're homosexual, they're straight, they're riotous, they are calm, they are humans. And if you use this badge and this authority that the city of Los Angeles or any city has given you out of line, we will prosecute you to the highest degree. We will take that badge from you. We will take your retirement. We will put you in prison with the thugs which you have become. We will investigate every bullet that comes from your gun. We will have it traced directly back to you. We will have the fullest and most complete report, not only to the citizenry of this city, but we will broadcast and publish your debauchery and all that you do. Now, before you graduate from this academy, you will sign your name on this dotted line to give us the permission to do that to you if we find you in any kind of way working against this law. That's the way you solve the po-po problem in this country. And that police officer would not have come up out of that curvature and pulled my U-Haul truck over. Oh, by the way, what happened? After he discovered that I would not curse him, that I would not ask him why he pulled me over, and I just sat in the back of the car, locked up, chained up like an animal, didn't say anything. He ran my license, and of course, he didn't find anything on it because there's nothing on it. You know what he said when he came back? He said, "What if I told you to take all this stuff out of this truck and so I can look for contraband?" I said, "Well, I guess since you're the law, I'd have to do it, wouldn't I? Or I'd go to jail." I said, "But I'm hoping that it doesn't come to that because I'm on a time schedule. And this stuff is packed in tight." The officer knew that I was a pastor. He knew that I was a chaplain. And I'm telling you, that is what he said to me. I'm not lying. Why did he do it? That was called racial profiling. The young deacon that was with me was outraged. I told him when I got out of the truck, "Shut up. Don't say anything to this white boy because we are in his part of the country, not ours. And there ain't too many black people within hundreds of miles of where we are. There are no cameras. There is no video. They will find two black men with a bullet in their head and this stuff spewed all over the highway if these rednecks go off." Now, you may think that's harsh language. Let me tell you something. That is the way any decent thinking black man thinks when he is out of his environment. I was so happy to get into Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I saw other black people in mass. You don't know how happy I was. Because whenever I travel like that, I'm very, very cautious, especially with California plates on my car. Now, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about having a person like me speak to the police officers and to threaten them with liability if they screw with the citizens of our fair community? The citizens of our community will not speak like the officers. Most of them will not speak like me. Most of them do not have a particular articulation to articulate their particular concerns. They're going to say, "Why are you stopping me? I ain't got to do that." Yeah, those are people from my community. People of whom I shop next to, that I sit in the movie theaters next to. I think it's a shame that young men are in their coffin, cold, dead. And you know what? This mess is happening all over the country, bit by bit. Now, it's going to be documented, but and I think that it's going to be a shame that the country comes to an end because we've done this. I like what verse 2 and 3 says of Romans chapter 13. It says, "Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Don't read that wrong. Because when the authority is wrong, now hear me and hear me right. When the authority is wrong, you have to do away with that authority and put in the right kind of authority. See, just because you're in power doesn't mean that it's the right kind of power. It doesn't mean that at all. And if you look at any government, any country, anything, whenever tyrants rule, well, just look at the French Revolution. Who is that? Marie Antoinette? Was that her name? The Queen of France? The people were rioting outside of the palace, screaming and howling, tearing up stuff. And she asked her appointees, "What's going on out there? What's the ruckus?" He says, "Oh, dear queen, the people are screaming and saying, we have no bread to eat." And she said, "Oh, that's not a problem. Feed them cake." You know what happened to her, don't you? When the guillotine came down, her head rolled, and a roar from the crowd came up. Now you may say, as a pastor, Pastor John, you're talking like, no, I'm just giving you history. That is what is going to happen in this country. And you need to rent those old movies about the road warriors and stuff like that, when the whole society went crazy. And they riding around the streets from place to place and tow up cars trying to get gas, because gas was the commodity that no one could afford, and it was petrol that kept their cities lit up. I think that's where we're headed. And you know what? It's all simply because what we've done is let the March 24th killing by police of Kendrick McDade, that's close to me. That's not in Florida. That's in Pasadena, California, where my play son Mario has to get on the train to go to work every Saturday in Pasadena. Right in Old Town. That's where he works. What if they shoot him one day and say he was doing something? See, that's what I have to contend with. That's why I made this webcast. And I'm telling you guys that law enforcement, you shouldn't get mad at me. You really shouldn't get mad at me. What you guys in law enforcement need to do is go to your commanders and say, you know what? I'm riding with a racist. Because I hear this boy talking about he going to shoot somebody in a minute and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I don't want to have to put some bullets in him. Whatever happened to the officers that were conscious of things like that? You know, because you can tell your commander, I refuse to work with this guy. Why? This guy's a blatant racist, man. And I remember how difficult it was when blacks in the LAPD started moving up. Things like that. They had a policeman worked out of Central Division in Los Angeles. His name was Kelly. And yeah, I don't know whether Kelly is alive or dead now, but he was one of the early LAPD. And he was known to be notorious against his own black citizenry. See, that's why he, you know, that's what he was known by his fellow white officers as. Kelly would beat you down in a minute. Because see, the black officer back in the early days often had to prove himself worthy to be a part of the Corps. And if you really look at the police, it comes from a kind of a mentality of the Roman Legion. Because that's all police are. They're like Roman Legion to protect the rich. That's why every society has them. You know, I love to drive through the city of Beverly Hills here in Southern California. And I don't have problems driving through the city because I drive a Lexus, though it is a 2002. But it's always shiny and looking good. It don't smoke. I pass my smog test all the time and stuff like that. But when I drive through Beverly Hills and the police just look at me and nod because they think that I'm some rich brother that stays in that fake town. I'll never forget, I was going down the street with someone in my car, and it had to be a poor black man coming down there in Beverly Hills to pick up his wife, who was working down there, and he was smoking, meaning that white smoke was coming out of his car, and half of his rear bumper was hanging off. Now, that's two violations. In Los Angeles, you see that all the time, and cops ain't pulling them over. They too busy looking at the youngsters, chasing them down the street. I'm just telling you the truth. But in Beverly Hills, there's not that much crime. And while I was talking with this young man in my car, lo and behold, the PD, Beverly Hills PD, pulled him over, and I just bust out laughing. I said, how did he think he was going to go down Wilshire Boulevard on the Miracle Mile in Beverly Hills and get through this with a smoking tailpipe and one-third of his bumper hanging off? I didn't wait around to see what happened, but they probably stopped him because it's illegal to drive a car like that in Beverly Hills, and they impounded the car. Now, look what they did. They impounded the car. There goes his mode of transportation. God only knows how his wife or whoever he was trying to pick up down there is going to get home or whatever he was down there for. Maybe he was down there being a custodian or something. But he impounds his car that cost him money, that cost him everything else, and then levied these heavy fines and everything on him. And he has to go to Beverly Hills court. Don't even live in the city. Do you know what that does to people when that happens to people over and over and over again? It makes them angry people. There used to be a time in this country when something happened like that, that the police would pull you over and said, now listen, this is the first time we pull you over in this city. We ran the plate and we don't see you here. I'm going to give you a warning. L.A. border is about a quarter of a mile up the street there. You have to leave this city. Don't bring this car back in this city again because you're spreading pollutants and it's a safety hazard. God bless you. You have a nice day. They don't do that now. They take your car. They penalize you. They put, wait, you know what? You know what? I speak to young men that have fix-it tickets. Listen to this, a fix-it ticket. A fix-it ticket used to cost $10 to $20 back in the day. You know, tail light out. Now, you police officers, correct me if I'm wrong out there. You know, you don't know what you're talking about and you're spreading. I ain't spreading nothing. You know the game. You're setting up their in-roll call. Remember, I used to set in-roll call with the cops. Because when I was a civilian traffic officer, we had the same radio they had, on the same frequency they have. We had on our uniforms. We were sitting there with them. I was in roll call, sitting through their roll call, and when the watch commander got through speaking with them, he started speaking with us. He said, you traffic officers, when you run against, there's a stolen vehicle out there, and it was used in a homicide. Be careful when you approach it, and here's the code number, blah, blah, blah. We got what they got, so I know what the police do. I used to work very close next to them. And I enjoyed it. It was nice. It was a nice job. I never thought I was a cop. I wanted to be a sworn officer, but my wife wouldn't let me. She said, nope, you're making enough money for us. I don't need you out there trying to stop crime. Because Lucy used to tell me, you're not going to stop it. Crime is going to be happening until Jesus come back. She didn't want me out there doing that because also she knew that it would formidably change me. I know policemen. I see the way they look suspect at everybody, and that's crazy. You need to leave your job on the job, and when you get out there, anyhow, they don't give you warning things like that now. They take your car, and they try to move you into saying something wrong. And then they call for a backup. And check this out. Check this out. This is how racial profiling looks. If I were in Beverly Hills driving my Lexus and let's say my car just started to smoke and they pulled me over and I was black. And I said, man, my car hasn't been smoking all week. It just started a minute ago. I was trying to get to the, oh, you're talking back to the officer. Then he called for backup. And I would say, what did you call for this officer for? Get down on the floor. Get down on the street. Sir, what? Lay down on the street. Wait a minute. My car just started smoking. Why did you call for three backups? Whoop, 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 whoop. They all swooped down because it's a black man driving a Lexus. He must have stole it. Did he steal it? No, who's PJ? Because that's what my license says. Who's PJ? I'm PJ. No, you're not getting down. What you doing driving a car like this and making it smoke like this? And then I protest and say, I cannot let you do that to me. And then I struggle with him and they put a bullet right in my head. He was resisting arrest. Now, there would be no way for you to find. I am telling you that if some of these guys have that mentality in their heads, it is dangerous for us to be black men on the streets of this country when running into Looney Tunes such as what I just mentioned. That is what this webcast is all about. And I am telling you people, and, you know, I hope that there's a lot of evangelicals listening to me, the evangelicals that live on the nicer parts of town where, you know, you ain't got a bunch of minorities and poor people and everything, and you gotta, you know, you pay for the policeman's ball and all that stuff, and you know you want to keep a strong police force in your community because we don't have any graffiti or strangers walking up and down our streets and things like that. And I understand where you're coming from. I really do, because it's nice to feel safe. Have you ever seen the newscast when somebody says, we've never had this in our community, and we are outraged? Man, if you got a depraved fool, if you got a human being living near you, they're all depraved. Even the cops are depraved. We are in terrible shape, and if this thing is not reconciled, because there's going to be one spark, the Lieberman case, or the Martin case, and this Kendre McDade, and they got all these other cases that unsolved, and they just letting the cops off. I mean, a policeman can be, man, in the Kendre case, if you really want to study it, those of you that's listening to me around the country or around the world, it's all on the internet. You can look up and see. Come on, man. Multiple bullet wounds in the boy's body. He was running. He didn't have a laptop, nor did he have a gun. He was a teenager running. No crime had been committed. A teenager running. Teenagers always run from the police. Always. And let's say that they were up to no good. Let's say that they were up to no good. You can't kill them unless, come on, man. All right, let me change around. No, I'm not going to cut this webcast off because, see, a lot of you are not feeling me yet. 42 minutes into the webcast, you're not feeling me yet. All right, let's switch it around. We're not in Pasadena, you know, which is old money city. You're in Los Angeles, South Central. And a black man calls. Hello, there's these two white boys. You know, as a matter of fact, yeah, gotta say that. Because the Hispanic illegal alien said that it was two black boys that did it. So I'm gonna reverse it. There were two black boys came up to me when I was at one of these food trucks trying to buy something, and they stole my laptop, and they both had guns. Two white boys, and they had guns, and they began to run. Do you know what the dispatcher would say? Sir, who are you? What is your name? What is your location? Are you injured right now? No, but they took my laptop and sent a black and white unit. Sir, where do you live? They would not dispatch a black and white unit if a black guy called and was speaking in the African-American tone and said the two young white boys just stole the laptop and they each had a gun. Would they? Come on, would they?